Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media.
Welcome to this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast. My name is Jay Crand. I'm without my co-host, Neil Smith, for this episode, but I'm with my friend, Randy Kraft. We've been already on talking, laughing, so if we're goofing off, I apologize in advance. But Randy, thanks for being on the show this week.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I'm excited to be here with you.
Yeah, so Randy, you are at Cross Point Church in Tennessee and crosspoint.tv. You are the group's pastor of the Nashville campus and also overall community and local outreach as well. And I know I probably jumbled it. So to tell the people that are listening a little bit about your role at Cross Point and a little bit about your family and anything else you feel like. I mean, you can share deep, dark secrets if you so desire. So
anyway. Perfect. Well, I've known Jay since he was a wee little boy. My name's Randy Kraft, as Jay said, and I had the pleasure to work at Cross Point Church here in Nashville, Tennessee, where I oversee our community. So it's what we call community here at Cross Point is small groups and local outreach for the church. And so I'm on a central staff, and I get to be a part of the team that oversees the vision for groups as well as local outreach for Cross Point Church across our campuses, which we have six. Some more to come along the way.
And you guys went through a huge change. The reason why we know each other, because you were on staff at Saddleback Church here in California, and that's how we got to know. And you served, I mean, you've done a lot of different things at Saddleback, from local peace, from you were at a regional, you were a number two at a regional forever, had tons of things. You were a number one at a campus for a while. If you don't remember that, I do. And so you've done a little bit of everything, but you just recently, how long ago did you move you and your family out to the, is it the East Coast or is it like
the South?
The South.
Yeah, they call it the South, which geographically it doesn't, but it's not the geographics of the South. It's the mindset, right? So we moved from Southern California to Nashville. It's been about a year and a half. That we came out here, and I did get to work with you at Saddleback. I was on staff there for 14 years, actually.
Wow.
It was a long time. And a little bit about that, I actually gave my life to Christ at Saddleback as a freshman in high school. So for the last 20 years or so, that's Saddleback was what I knew. That was my home church my whole life until we felt this call to Nashville, and it threw us for a loop. And 2 years ago, you would have asked me what I'd be doing, and I would have said, I'll be at Saddleback. I'll be serving on pastoral staff there. And never in a million years would I have thought we would have moved to Nashville. But we are here.
And your guys' journey of going over there is such a cool thing, just because I know, like, you and your wife, you guys prayed a lot about it. And it definitely, as we were talking over a lot of different conversations, it definitely felt like, you know, God moving, working, and a lot of faith. You rub it in my face how much space your place is versus real estate in California versus real estate in Tennessee. So that's constantly, I still remember you moving, like sending me photos of like how much square you have. If anybody knows anything about how much real estate, like how much housing costs in California, especially Southern California, it's just nutty. And I actually have a brother, and I've told you this, but I have a brother in Tennessee, and we bought our house, in the same year, like a couple months apart. And like, he had triple the amount of square feet I had. And he bought $20,000 less than I did. Anyway.
Isn't that nuts? Yeah. It's location, right? I got to drive 6 hours south to get to a beach. You got to drive 60 minutes, 25 minutes to your beach. So, it's all relative, right?
Yeah, totally. Well, and you lived in San Clemente. So like,
I did.
Yeah. So San Clemente is like, I mean, like rainbows and all that are from San Clemente. I mean, it's like, it's one of those world famous kind of areas. So that's a big difference. So real quick, since moving, what are your sports allegiance now? Like who do you follow now sports wise?
Baseball Angels all the way.
I mean,
it's God's team. You can't go away from God's team, right? So baseballs, I'm still with the Angels. We'll never leave that. I am a Tennessee Titans football fan. So my NFL team is there. I didn't really have an NFL allegiance before that. So it was just an easy fit. We have a couple players that come here. So I was like, of course I have to, have to do that. And then I'm still a USC Trojans fan. Sorry for those SEC people. And I mean,
are they still like under banned or something?
No, they're done. They're
under banned. Yeah. Anyways, and you were showing me before we got going here, because we were just catching up. Your guys' Nashville offices are like, how, you said how close to the Titan Stadium?
We're 1 mile from what is now Nissan Field, I believe.
Oh my God.
It used to be LP Field. So yeah, we're right. The downtown campus, what we call our broadcast campus, is just right in the mix of everything. It's a great location. We're about a mile from LP Field. We're about a mile and a half from actual downtown, like Broadway, where the honky tonks are and all that stuff. So you don't hear that word a whole lot.
I know. I do not hear honky tonk. I don't even.
Yeah, you don't even know what that is, do you?
Yeah. Which I knew you would fit there when I knew you and your wife were like would listen to country music, and I just I think country music is terrible. But you know, I don't. Clearly, God's not calling me anywhere right now. So regardless, I think God spoke to you first in country music.
Through country music.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Yeah. Are you going to say yes?
No. What?
Okay. So, okay. A couple of questions. This is my question.
Is there a question? Do we have a question?
No, we're just here to just joke around.
Perfect.
And still get you to confess that you cheat at golf. So what's the biggest difference? Tell me, so you've worked under, you have, and now you work under some of the two biggest people in just currently God's using in all of the church. So you got Rick Warren and, you got your current, leader Pete. And so, what are some things you've noticed trends-wise working with two, you know, people, high-capacity people? What are some things that stand out to you?
Man, both of these guys, I love them dearly. I mean, Rick is an amazing leader. And I mean, gosh, that's obvious. But Pete, too. Pete reminds me of kind of a younger Rick. He's brilliant. The personable side of both Rick and Pete are very similar. They have a heart for people. They are amazing at activating people for ministry and really helping people find their purpose here on earth. So it, other than size of the church and kind of maturity of the church, because Crosspoint's, you know, half of the age of Saddleback, a little bit younger. Mm-hmm. We just hit 13 years. And so other than that, man, I mean, it was actually a surprisingly smooth church to church transition. I know Rick and Pete are friends, and so they talk a lot, and Pete has taken a lot of the ministry values from the purpose-driven church model. So, yeah, it's been a very smooth transition for me personally.
That's sweet. Well, let's talk a little bit about online and social media stuff. So with your role with groups and now local outreach and all that stuff you're doing, how much are you guys processing the online component and how to like activate and get groups healthy and get local outreach going. What does that look like internally as you guys are doing? Is it just as basic as we need a website, we need this? Are you guys having conversations around how to integrate that? What are some things that are going on as you guys are thinking through how to do your ministry day to day? How does technology play into that?
Yeah, technology is huge. Everything from our website being the location that people go to get connected to groups, utilizing social media platforms to get the word out, not only to our church members, but our church partners, but our community, about what's going on in the church. So we're very intentional with our social media strategies when it comes down to major events like groups, campaigns, or large serving events. We utilize, you know, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Periscope and Snapchat to really get the word out and share with people and get them excited and really want them to be a part of what we're doing and kind of create that energy where they don't want to miss out on these things because if they do, they're going to be kind of not a part of the know.
Yeah. And have you guys ran into any issues or popping up with social media and groups? Like has anything, and I guess two part, have you ran into any issues and do you have any guidelines that you've given small group hosts on how to use social media?
We're currently working on a training for our group hosts. So that's one thing that we're going to add in a little bit, not so much, guidelines on how to use it, but we just, Crosspoint, I'm sure as much like Saddleback where, the staff really wants to control the brand and what's put out there under the name of Crosspoint. So, we ask that our group leaders don't create Crosspoint Facebook pages, or have Crosspoint or CP in the name of any of their Instagrams or things like that. If they want to utilize that, as their own group to communicate with each other, that's great. But we ask them not to put the Crosspoint name on that because, we cannot control what they put out there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it totally does. And I mean, diluting the brand, I know that's something, I know anybody who's multi-site, as a church, and that's so many churches are doing that now.
Yeah.
That's like one of the hardest things. It's easy now because a lot of the larger churches have struggled with that. But even within small groups, I mean, I say it all the time that's something that I constantly have to be on top of.
Yeah.
So no, that's
brand management. Yeah.
Dude, brand management, which is not a word you learn in seminary. It's not,
right?
Yeah. It's like not something they tell you about. Like, right. Yeah, you need
eschatology and brand management they go hand in hand.
It sounds like the same thing to me. I feel like.
It's crazy. I was reading a statistic that in America, there's about, just over 1,300 mega churches kind of in America.
Mm.
But now there's over 5,000 multi-site churches across America. So obviously that's the new trend where I think I was listening to a podcast and they're talking about how the kind of the ideology before was mega churches created multi-sites, but now people are realizing that, you know, new churches reach new people for Jesus. And so, it's just a great tool to use. So it's a crazy thing going on right now.
How do you guys, for material wise for your groups, are you guys using, any type of, online portal or something to distribute? Are you guys giving out physical copies or is it both?
It's a little bit of both. It depends on what we're doing as a church. Pastor Pete just released a new book a few months ago. And so we did a series based on his new book. And so with that, we had physical small group study guides and DVDs. Other than that, we use a tool online called Right Now Media. And so a lot of it's digital. And so we give access to all of our group leaders that tool. And there's over 3,000 small group study guides, small group studies on there. And so that's kind of a main one. We really try to decrease the physical footprint because of cost.
Yeah.
And so anytime we can do digital, it's always ideal for us. So we have streamed videos for groups to use that we've shot and just put them on YouTube for them to watch. Or, each week we do message questions where we post them online and they're just kind of, I know Saddleback, I don't know if they still do kind of the talk it over stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So message questions, kind of same idea where we write questions based on pastor's message that week and we post them online for groups to talk through and work through and then give them next steps as a group that they can kind of put into action for that week.
Yeah. I was just talking to a friend that, another friend doing group stuff, and there's like, man, there's this powerful network of now of people that we know and know that are doing groups in different places. But this idea that when you're connected to somebody in your small group, either one of your hosts, and you're connected via online, you have this ability to see into someone's life that maybe you don't naturally get.
Yeah.
If you're just responsible for them under your group. Because I was thinking about, there's so many things that have happened in the news in the last, I don't know, 10 weeks that I'm like, that are groups under me. But because we're connected on social media, I'm like, oh, wow. Like they're opinionated on that.
Right. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, maybe I should talk to them about that. But there's this amazing, I just feel like with group health specifically, I mean, it's already here, but it will continue to get this trend that we will, it used to be that because there wasn't this web 2.0 kind of digital presence that you didn't really have a representation of somebody online, or there wasn't a way to communicate. So you had to wait for them to respond. But now we're kind of moving towards, you're already connected. So, and you probably already know things before. So like, I know when a group member loses somebody in their family, because before they even talk to me, they've shared like, hey, be praying for my family. So it's an amazing thing about that. And I know we'll get better at that as it goes on. But I was curious about this with you. What, cause you're a guy that, I think you have the Apple Watch, and so you were like sharing that. But you're a guy that's always, I've always considered you a guy who's always using technology very wisely, in the sense like you get it, but like it's like you use it for, you know, being productive. I always remember when you were in your offices here, you had one of your computers set up where, because your office was faced towards the corner, you had the camera set up.
I don't trust you, Jay.
I know. Yeah. You had the camera set up. So if anybody started walking behind you, you could see them in advance.
Yeah.
And, but those are just like ways that
do we need to put a little background to that and how that really kind of came about, Jay? When I would come into my office and my chair would be upside down on the ground and things would be strewn about in the office, or,
you know, this is the thing you would harass. Everybody harasses me because I'm because my title at Saddleback is online campus pastor. Everybody harasses me that I'm never in the office. So then what does that make?
Is it harassment if it's true?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like it is. That might just be my feeling, but I have to purposely go into your office and tear it apart. But so with that, what are some things maybe in the last couple weeks, what is some technology that you use day to day that like helps you be more productive? What are some things that like have maybe you've integrated recently, or even your most used apps? Let's say that help you with your job. I'm just curious.
That helped me with my job. Well,
job not ESPN. Like
baby lock or ESPN. Okay, gotcha. I would say that I use a lot. I mean, my calendar right now is probably the thing that's the most out of control. So I use Fantastical because it syncs and it's kind of intuitive as far as typing. Like, I just like it. I like the interface of it. So I use that a ton. It syncs with my Apple Watch. So it gives me little reminders and stuff on there. Within the office productivity, you know, we at Crosspoint, a lot of times we'll use Google Docs because we're multi-site. And so, it's nothing fancy, but it's just a great opportunity for us to kind of have a living document and share and engage with each other. Obviously Evernote is great.
I
utilize that a ton.
I just upgraded to Evernote Premium.
I almost did. I've been on the cusp. I don't know if I want to pay for it.
I know. I think it's $50 a year or something if you pay it all at once. But like, I was actually listening to Tim Ferriss, one of his podcasts, the 4-Hour Workweek guy. And he had the guy from Evernote, the founder, and it like put me over the edge. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. So I'm still getting used to it. And actually the Mac application keeps crashing on me.
Does it?
Yeah. And I don't know why, but I'm sorry if Evernote, I mean, no one's Evernote. I don't know why I would say that. Like, anyway,
I think I listened to that same podcast. And so I started using Evernote because he was talking about the simplicity and how they're really making it so on the different platforms, from computer to phone to watch, each one has its specific use in engagement. And I was like, oh, that's brilliant. Like, it's not about the word processing. It's about how we can engage with that platform. And so, so that's really what got me started using Evernote again, where I wasn't as much before.
Yeah, I'm still getting, like, I could tell, like, I had this one, you know, so part of my job is similar to yours, where I have groups that I'm responsible for. So I have volunteers that help me with that, and I built a team around that. But I also want to make sure to go the extra level. And I had this challenge. I was like, okay, what if I contact each of my groups 4 times a year? Like, for me personally, on top of what my volunteers are doing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I can create a reminder, and every week I call this many groups, and then I use an Evernote master sheet, and I kind of work from the top down. And I was like, is there any way? And so I think that, for me, I'm still trying to figure out how to leverage that, for productivity. Yeah. But, have you been liking the iWatch? Like, has it been something that, I mean, you're like first gen, so you're learning how to integrate it. Has it been like something in meetings where you're like, this is less annoying, or like, what's kind
of sure. It's a gadget. I mean, it's a toy.
Yeah.
To say that it increases productivity that might be a bit of a stretch, for me, personally, and maybe I'm just not utilizing it the way I should. I do find myself looking at my phone less for sure, which is great. But then at the same time, I feel like I'm rushing people cause I'm always checking the time, but it's, I love it. I mean, it's a gadget. And so any gadget I love, is it essential to my life? No,
I
love it.
Have you liked the apps that came with it, or are you like kind of like looking for more, like in the sense a little bit?
I think because it's so new, developers are still trying to figure out how to best utilize the small screen and the touch and the, you know, the whatever it's called, the hard touch. I don't know what it's called. I should know. the press and the touch, right? But the apps that I do use on there, it works fine.
Sweet. Well, so last question. What are some podcasts or books that you've gone through that maybe you are going through or you do go that you have gone through in the last, last couple of weeks that have challenged you the most that you think, oh, check this out?
That is a great question. I don't actually read or really listen to podcasts at all. No.
Hey, you said you like literally before this subscribed to my podcast. So
the Social Media Church podcast.
No.
The most excellent podcast I've ever listened to. I do listen to that one. I love leadership podcasts. I love listening to church podcasts. So, Kerry Newhoff, I love his podcast. Harry Noble, Andy Stanley, their leadership podcast. I love, Entree Leadership podcast. Yeah. I really enjoy that one. A buddy of mine, here, Chris Brown, with, Ramsey Solutions, they have, he has a podcast that I listen to. And then in addition, just the church sermons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So those are some good podcasts. We're actually, I'm taking my entire team through, Small Groups with Purpose right now. So shout out to Steve Gladen. So, we've been in a season, as I've kind of stepped into this new role, where we're just saying, okay, where are we at? Where do we need to go? What is the foundation that we need to lay or relay? And so we've been just going through that, and it's, the model that we've had here at Crosspoint from the beginning has really been a purpose-driven model for groups. And so, it's just, we have a lot of new staff. So it's been for me a great book just to refocus for groups and saying, okay, why do we do what we do? What is the purpose of groups? How does that implement within our structure and our kind of culture? So that's a great book.
You just got me a lot of props from my boss. So
yeah, Steve Layton, shout out. No, it's a great book. I mean, if you are a groups pastor and you haven't read that book, I recommend it. It's amazing. So that, a lot of leadership books, Next Generation Leader, I took my team through. That's one of my favorite leadership books. It's just partially because it's small.
Totally.
Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, we just finished reading. It's a great book. So that's kind of where I've been at. I've got a lot of books that I want to read.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the story of my life. So,
sweet. Yeah. Well, Randy, I want to thank you. I know I did this selfishly just for us to hang out a little bit, but so I'll put all the links to everything we talked about in the show notes. So you can learn more about that at socialmedia.church, and I'll put some links to Randy's, kind of follow him on Twitter. I don't think you're blogging. Are you blogging yet?
I'm not,
this is a constant tension in our friendship.
It is. Well, I just don't feel I'm important enough to have that much to say. No,
making it feel like I think
you're very important.
Okay.
No, it's just, you are important.
Okay.
I've wanted to, and
okay, this is what I'm doing. I'm linking people to your blog so you feel convicted. So I think is
the blog post from February of 2014.
Is it still something without socks on or something?
No, I think I think I changed it to randycraft.me.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. No, don't link to that.
No, I'm going to. Okay. Thanks, Randy, for checking us out. I'll put everything we talked about. The fantastic calendar thing is a sweet mention. I'll highlight that.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on the show. For everyone who's listening, to learn more about the show, go to socialmedia.church. Use the hashtag SMC podcast and give a shout out to Randy. So we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. Stop by socialmedia.church for the show notes and to learn more about Social Media Church. Please share this podcast with a friend and leave a review on iTunes or wherever you may be listening.